So I'm sitting here with Michelle of Align Rehabilitation, and she is really growing and has something coming up on May 3rd.
On May 3rd, Align Rehabilitation will be having our grand opening of our brand new physical therapy facility. We are directly next door to Real Life Prosthetics, who has also expanded their lab as they build out their prostheses. So May 3rd is grand opening. I invite everyone to come tour both my brand new facility for physical therapy treatment, as well as see what Real Life Prosthetics has done with their new lab.
And what time is it?
It's 11 to 2, and then the ribbon cutting is at 11:15.
And so what's the address?
The address is 3435 Box Hill Corporate Center Drive, Suite C, Abingdon, Maryland, 21009.
On this episode of Harford County Living, which is actually recorded in the Joppatown Lions Club studios, I want to thank them for that. We have somebody that you haven't heard from in a while on the show. She used to co-host with me. She co-hosted several shows with me before in the past. Sarah Coleman is on talking about her new business. And of course, we have the maestro himself, Sheldon Bear, from the Susquehanna Symphony Orchestra, talking about their upcoming concert. We want to thank the Joppatown Lions Club because they're allowing us to use their studios now to record most of the podcast. And they actually have their big Breakfast with Santa and Holiday Bazaar coming up December 9th at the Joppatown High School. It's from 9 to 1. If you don't know where Joppatown High School is, it's at 555 Jop Farm Road in Joppatown. What they're going to have, it's all you can eat for $10. Waffles, pancakes, eggs, bacon, ham, fruits. Of course, coffee, juices, milk, and stuff like that. Children 5 years old and under are free as long as they're with a paying adult. I understand Santa is actually going to be sitting at a table throughout the day and actually sitting down and eating with the kids, something that you really don't see at other places. The Lions Club is also going to be raffling off a brand new Sharp 32-inch LED smart TV. Tickets for that are $5 each or 3 for 10. And in addition to that, they're going to have several vendors selling stuff. Their featured vendor, Log Cabin Chocolates, will be set up. My understanding is as soon as you walk in, they're going to be right there. Miss Trisha's, who makes the handmade natural soaps and lotions and creations by me and several other vendors. So get on out. That's the Joppatown Lions Club Breakfast with Santa and Holiday Bazaar, December 9th at Joppatown High School from 9 to 1. You can get tickets online at joppatownlionsclub.org or contact one of the members. You can find them on Facebook as well.
You are listening to the Harford County Living Podcast with Rich Bennett. Thank you for coming, and please send any suggestions or comments to podcast@harfordcountyliving.com. The Harford County Living Podcast is produced for your enjoyment, and show notes can be found at harfordcountyliving.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorites, RSS feed, or iTunes. All links are in the show notes. Now let's join Rich Bennett and his special guest.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the Sheldon Bear Podcast.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to the Harford County.
And what do you do, Sarah?
Rich has to do his intro.
No, I'm good. Go ahead.
Oh. Okay.
What is Mack Group?
It is a construction or contracting company.
Oh, okay.
So I am a general contractor, and I match up clients with contractors, so I do all the vetting and
make sure they're good
and reliable and honest, and will do what they say they're going to do and get the job done. And I handle multiple projects for one client or just one. They just don't want to have to, call several different contractors to get estimates. And
She's constantly busy, too, because now her husband's running the other business.
Oh, you're a clearinghouse, in other words.
Sure.
Sort of like, yeah.
Yeah, we kind of do it all.
Cool.
And how you been doing it, what, a year now? Or a little over a year?
So, I've actually only been out on my own since March, because I couldn't do anything myself until I got my license.
Okay.
But I ran under Four Seasons MHIC number for a while. So, okay. I've been working like some kind of construction concierge piece since about this time last year, yes.
So,
I haven't been, I went out on my own in March or April. I actually can't really remember.
So you actually had to get another home improvement license?
Yes.
Because it's a new, another, a separate business.
Yes.
But if you would have done it under Four Seasons, could you have?
Yeah, but I don't think it would have worked because Four Seasons is landscape driven. So
good point
obviously,
there.
Right? So it worked for a minute. I could go out and get work or referrals from the landscape company, from Chris going out and doing estimates and stuff, and that was fine and worked for a while, but I think being a separate entity has been better.
And you're not giving Chris the headaches like you used to, right?
It's different. It's different. We definitely
Chris is our husband, Sheldon.
I figured.
Okay. We have had some overlapping clients and projects. And
so he's in a similar business?
Yes, we also have a landscape company.
Oh, good.
And they do... they have a construction piece too, sort of, and they do drainage and patios and pavers and stuff, which I do as well. I can just do it cheaper. And
You're cutting your husband.
Yeah, wow. I'll cut him out in a hurry. but I can't do the drainage. He does. He has to do that part. He's certified through the state and all their licensing and everything else.
So it's a lot of like corporate accounts that he has.
No. No, he does a lot of residential.
Yeah, they got a lot of
majority residential. Yeah.
I have a guy that comes and mows my lawn. He's a local guy. Well, yeah, Tripp. Nice guy, Jonathan Tripp. He has a really hard time keeping another person on. Like, he's a small company.
Yeah, you don't say. This year has been really bad for the construction business, just in total, I feel like, because... My crews, we're fighting like yesterday. There was one guy no called, no showed. The other one went to a game, a Giants game over the weekend and got a DWI when he was out of town. So he wasn't in town yesterday, so the crew couldn't go out and work yesterday. You know, like that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah.
But the landscape company in particular, if they have set up 50 interviews since spring, they've had... easily 35 no-shows.
Wow.
To the interviews. So then your remainder, they get to the interview, 10 more, they don't show up the first day.
Okay.
So then you've got the last 10 or so that they show up the first day, and then they don't make it past the first day. So they were running one crew during the spring when it
was
raining.
Hard to find good help.
It's terrible. Yeah. It's terrible. And the other thing is, too, is that if you are a legitimate company, and I say that, like, you know, running licensed and insured and all of that stuff, you have certain guidelines and things you have to follow. If you're federally regulated, like through DOT and all of that, there's certain things you have to follow, right? Well, it's really, really hard finding laborers that don't partake in extracurricular activities that are frowned upon by the federal government.
Right, I see. Yeah.
So that's another kicker that really is tough.
With the contractors, are you seeing, I guess, less and less people getting into the field? Because a lot of people I talk to, it's hard for them to find. Well, laborers, anybody wants to get into contracting or HVAC?
So here's the thing with the way I operate is that I prefer to use a contractor who, this is their niche.
Right.
So they do roofing and roofing-related items only. This guy does decks, deck items only. Only because it's much more efficient and cost-effective for me, for the client, to hire somebody who is going, this is all they do every day, all day. They're not going to have any issues with permits from the county. They're not going to have, because everything's going to pass all the time. They do it all the time. And it just, it gets things done a lot quicker. But it's harder to find folks that's what they do, because the people that are getting into this industry now, or have been getting into this industry, say the last 10 years probably, they're getting into the industry and they're trying to do everything, because you want to make every dollar, and you want to make every, you don't want to turn work down, and you want to find, you know,
that's why I love them,
figure out everything
too.
You can do. Mm-hmm. And they are part of the reason that contractors in general get a bad name, because they are not proficient in roofing, and they are not proficient in decks. You can't be proficient in everything. Mm-hmm. So I don't have the same contractors that do the same kind of work. It just doesn't make sense, and it just doesn't work.
I noticed that because I'm starting to see, like, roofing companies, mm-hmm. to where they only focus on stuff above the top window. So they no longer do windows. They no longer do something. They'll do the eaves, the roofing. I think some of them are even doing solar panels. Because it costs a lot of money. I think insurance is even more just to put a ladder up and get on the roof, isn't it?
I think roofing insurance, like, the higher you get off the ground, the higher up
the higher insurance is. Yeah,
absolutely. So I had an issue. So with me being just a general contractor, I had a hard time. I don't have employees.
Right.
I've spent a great deal of time finding contractors, and I'm not very forgiving in the sense that, like, if we have an arrangement and you're supposed to do A, B, and C, and you don't do A, B, and C in the time that I told you I needed A, B, C, right. and done, great working with you. Have a nice day. I'm going to find somebody who is reliable, because I can't send you into a property and continue to give you work that you're not doing what I need you to do, right?
She's the female Mike Holmes.
So if I wanted to...
What?
I don't know who Mike Holmes is. Sorry.
Oh, he's a big contractor up in Canada. Why, he's on DIY and all them homes and homes. And he goes in and makes the stuff right.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
I learned a lot of stuff. Because one of the things... I need a new roof, but one of the things I'm waiting for is the metal roof. Not when I say metal roof, I don't mean like awnings. They look like regular asphalt shingles, mm-hmm. but they're metal with the asphalt coating, and I think they're rated for like 50 years plus.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah, probably, but they don't have them here yet.
Pretty penny to probably kind of like the difference between using vinyl versus just wood, right?
Yeah.
So vinyl costs more, but it lasts longer and it's less maintenance, and that kind of stuff is appealing. So when you pony it up from the get-go, and then you know, you don't have to maintenance it, take care of it. Really, it's low maintenance, not no maintenance.
So you would have somebody that could come in and put in one, like, 4x6 cement block where ours is crumbling apart?
Mm-hmm. You need a cement block there, Sheldon.
Yeah, I need a cement block at some point. No rush. So okay, let's get going.
The Queen of Contracting, what's the website?
www.macgroupcontracting.com.
Mac, just M-A-C.
M-A-C. Mm-hmm.
I gotta ask, what's the Mac?
My daughter's initials.
Ah!
So Mac Chris, Group Contracting.
So Chris has a hauling company, and it's CRC Services, and those are his initials, but they're also Caden's initials.
Okay.
So each kid has a... Not that they're going to do anything with any of our companies, because they're going to go to college and do other things, but...
How old are they? How old are
10 and 12.
It's like my son. My business, Dan Ben's, named after my son, Danny Bennett.
Oh, right.
That's how I came up with Dan Ben. Is he going to do web design or anything? No.
MacGroupContracting.com.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
Sheldon.
Rich.
Another big concert coming up.
Yeah.
December 8th, right?
Are you going to introduce me?
No, I don't need it. It's your podcast.
He needs a professional introduction. I'm
sorry.
No, it's okay. Let me know when we're starting officially.
The maestro himself, never mind, I ain't going there. I was going to throw a Frank Zappa pun in there,
that's
but
okay.
I can't.
That's all right.
So, actually, I'll let you talk about the concert first, because I have a question about it.
Yeah. You want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Looking forward to doing this. So, the Susquehanna Symphony has its next concert, which is our ever-popular holiday concert on Saturday.
Which last year was awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
I did make that.
Yep, I appreciate that. Saturday, December 8th, we always get a good crowd, so get your tickets early. www.ssorchestra.org, or Google me, Sheldon Bear, and you'll find Susquehanna Symphony.
B-E-H-R.
This would be wrong. That's the paint company.
I mean, B-A-I-R.
B-A-I-R. And, of course, Rich knows better.
Usually I have to correct him on the website, but now it's...
So we have a nice bunch of holiday music for our audiences as usual, and they will be invited to sing along with not one, but two pieces. We're going to start with a work that we did 4 years ago. Excuse me, Jesse Ayres' Fanfare and Carol for Christmas, which is, guess what, a fanfare followed by a carol, and it's Joy to the World.
So that's going to be the first one.
That everybody needs to be able to raise their voice in song right from the get-go.
Maybe I won't show up to that one. I'll chase people out and begin if I do that.
Well, we have duct tape for that.
Okay.
So,
man.
Then I've been working with a young composer in Lancaster who approached me and said, I'd like to compose something for the Susquehanna Symphony, which actually does happen a lot. And... so he's written a work called A Winter Celebration, which is really clever. It's almost like a sleigh ride, but has little tidbits of Christmassy tunes plus one Hanukkah tune within like 5-6 minutes. It's really cute.
Huh.
So he's done a very nice job. His name is Jonathan Graybill, and he'll be joining us, of course, for the concert. We also have a gentleman who's a doctor at NIH, and he wrote when he was a young man, and we're working through a piece that he's written for us called A Festival of Lights, and we're working on that together. I'm sort of helping him
right with
that, and we'll see where that goes. Of course, a Hanukkah piece. His name is Dr. Arnold Kirschenbaum, but he goes by Arnie. We have the usual Christmassy stuff. A sing-along arranged by me, which everybody enjoys at the end. Santa will join us after that for Sleigh Ride, as usual. But and we'll have, you know, White Christmas and some of those pieces that everybody knows. There's a gentleman in Bel Air named Robert Borelli, who composed a fanfare on a manual for band, and I heard the community band do it last year, and I said, well, could you do it for orchestra? So he is. So we'll have the brass back in the hall, you know, and amongst the audience members, and strings will be on stage, and it's based on O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, which is actually one of the oldest tunes that is performed regularly.
Really?
Anywhere, yes. O Come, O Come, Emmanuel is an ancient tune. Greensleeves would be another one that is quite an ancient tune that is continues to be performed on a regular basis. We've got a really cool "Twas the Night Before Christmas" that we're doing this year. It's a new one, and Larry Noto, Musicland, will be narrating for us. So that'll be fun.
You gave course, Gary the boot.
Yeah, Gary. Gary did last year, so I'm looking for somebody else. And
Larry would be good at that.
Larry's good. Yeah. So and of course I've known Larry since he was a little guy coming over. We lived in the same neighborhood, coming over and seeing if he could help me build my deck. So he was a little guy, since, and my wife taught both him and his sister. So, of course, he's at Musicland. We're also going to do, some of the SSO members said, can we play Anastasia tunes? So we're going to be doing music from Anastasia, which is a popular movie.
I was going to say, but that wasn't a Christmas movie.
Yeah, but Once Upon a December is in that.
Ah, okay.
And everybody loves Once Upon a December. And in addition, we're going to go back and do two pieces by the great Baroque composer George Frederick Handel. We're going to do a concerto that it's just two movements. It's actually quite short. Overture, and then a piece that is an instrumental version of that he set from the Messiah. So in the Messiah, we have one of the first chorus is "And the Glory of the Lord," and so he also set it for an instrumental ensemble, which is kind of cool.
Wow!
And then Sarah McGill, who's originally from Bel Air, lives in Pittsburgh. She'll be playing Handel's Harp Concerto in B flat major with us. So if you like harpy music,
yes,
It's cool. So Sarah is really good.
You don't like listening to a harp? Oh God, I love it.
Sarah's
different than me. She doesn't like she's not, you know, doesn't like all types of different music. Oh. Like I do.
That is so false.
Yeah, whatever.
So Sarah grew up in Bel Air, was my student at Southampton and C. Milton, and then went to University of Maryland to study, then Duquesne. So she'll be with us for that. Like I said, Santa will be with us, and it'll be a fun evening for everybody. We'll be selling our raffle tickets. We have a raffle which is ongoing through to the May concert, and our raffle this year is generously donated $2,000 gift card to Southwest Airlines.
Really?
So yeah. So you can get your raffle tickets at the concerts too. So and of course, with Southwest Airlines, you don't have to fly. I mean, there's hotels, there's all kinds of stuff.
Good, because I'm gonna fly
on their website. So that tells you pretty much about our December 8th concert. We start at 7:30, which is a good time for families. And Bel Air High School, Saturday, December 8th.
How did you get a $2,000 gift card from Southwest?
It's not from Southwest. It was donated by a family that has been involved with the orchestra.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm going to have to yell at somebody. I want a gift card for Southwest. I think you're missing a piece on there, though, aren't you? One of my favorite singers of all time.
Mel Torme?
Yes.
Oh, love Mel Torme. And yeah, we're doing the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire.
To me, the best version.
Yeah. So it's a lovely piece. Mel Torme did a good job. Remember Night Court where the...
Yes.
What was his name?
Harry Anderson.
Harry Anderson. Yep. Loved Mel Torme, didn't like, what's his name, Barry Manilow. which was always funny. You know, Sarah probably doesn't remember that. But.
Sarah absolutely does remember.
Okay, good. But Rich and I saw them when they first came out.
I was saying, I watched reruns. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, forget about that rerun thing.
Hey, it's still in reruns.
Is it really? Yes. I wouldn't mind watching a few episodes of Night Court.
Yeah, they're fun.
Laugh TV, I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah, there's several
networks
that do old TV shows. And I still love watching Andy and Mayberry, which just cracks me up. Barney
Don
Fight,
yep,
you know, Don Knotts.
So well, who's going to be singing the Mel Torme?
Nobody. It's an orchestral version.
Oh, okay.
Unless you want to sing, maybe you want to. Okay, good.
No, I cannot do Mel Torme.
Okay, I just thought I'd offer, but, you know. No, it's an orchestral version, and it's quite lovely, actually. Yeah,
I was actually, when I saw that, as I had to pull up the song I was listening to, I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, it's a lovely tune.
Yeah. But I just love
getting into the holiday spirit already.
Oh, I'll sit there listening to Christmas songs in July, or just to hear the voice, whoever's singing it. You know, like, Michael Crawford, who did the Phantom,
the original Phantom.
Yeah, to hear him do "Oh Holy Night," and that's something I can listen to in the summer. Just to hear his voice, to hear him sing it. It's just amazing.
And, of course, if you're a music teacher this time of year, you've been doing Christmas tunes already.
Yeah.
Especially elementary and middle school.
Yeah. Or if you're a store and you don't have your Christmas stuff out, you're late.
Probably.
I saw Christmas stuff
and
in the stores.
And they always put out
like in August.
A shelf of Christmas decorations with the Halloween decorations.
Yeah.
Drives me
crazy. Just to kind of get you in the mood.
Yeah,
well, I think it's interesting.
It's coming,
I think it's because of the scarecrow or the skeleton.
Nightmare Before
Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas. And somehow or another they both combine. Whatever.
So as you know, Rich, I have two children in London. And they don't celebrate Thanksgiving. But they have Black Friday.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am. Absolutely serious.
Interesting.
So, is it the same as a
day? Oh, absolutely it's the same day. Yeah, they don't want to miss out.
I have to ask my cousin about that.
Yeah.
Marketing at its best.
Your kids would probably love, especially the Christmas show. I took my daughter last year.
So here's the thing with
she had a
kids
blast.
And Christmas music. The rule at my house when I was a kid was Thanksgiving Day is when the Christmas music starts, right? And my mom listens to everything, anyone Christmas related. And so I try to start finding the XM radio channels that the Christmas music. But as soon as the kids get in the car, they like flip it right back to what we normally listen to, and they're like, "What if we miss a new song that's coming out while you're listening to Christmas music?" Well, you don't want to be behind in the times, right? So I got to listen to what's out there.
Which cracks me up because the kids today, now a song that came out 2 months ago is considered an oldie.
You know what? The one thing I do like about my kids, though, is, and you were giving me a hard time about music earlier, but I do listen to anything as far back as the 50s. So they don't know what they're listening to, but they don't know what the bands are.
There were some good things. You know, certainly, back then, like I said, my youngest daughter is studying music business in England, and there was one gentleman whose name I can't recall, called high. There is difference between high art and low art, and high art is supposedly classical and jazz, and low art is something else. And I don't agree with that because I think a lot of people think that all the quote classical composers that we listen to, which is really not classical. Classical is only 1750 to 1820 or so. But they think that we all listen to all those old dead guys. Well, when Mozart was living, there was only Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven that we listen to today, pretty much. There were hundreds of other composers.
Yeah.
That would be considered low art because, you know, a lot of it, some of it I know, like Carl Ditters von Dittersdorf, one of my favorite composers' names, but the music isn't very good. Carl Ditters from Dittersdorf.
Von, V-O-N,
from. So, wow. So this guy knew Mozart and Haydn, and he composed a ton of music, and it's not very good. So I would consider that low art. There's also...
Yeah.
So then where does somebody like Gershwin fit in? Who is in some ways popular, right, and in some ways one could consider like more orchestral or something. And it's also interesting where a lot of people think that I've run into, they go, oh, you mean people are still writing for orchestra today? Well, yes, there's a lot of people writing for orchestra. So the whole idea of high art, the one that I said to Morgan, who I think, Elton John and, of course, Tarpin.
Mm-hmm.
Those two guys together, I think, are similar to George Gershwin and Ira Gershwin in that it's really fine poetry.
Right.
Composed by a really fine composer, Elton John. So I think that's high art. You know, I mean, he's got some beautiful things with some beautiful poetry. So I just read an article about the illiteracy of people in music right now, and according to this article, most of the popular music written today is written by two people, one in the United States and one in Scandinavian country. That's it.
Really?
Yes. So that's why a lot of it, according to this article, seems to sound the same, because it's only two composers composing a lot of music, and their names are like put aside, you know, they're not, but they're listed in this article. Yeah. So, which is different than
when I was today's music.
Yeah. It's different than when I was growing up in the 60s, and I listened to a lot of Beatles and Motown, in particular Motown. And then when I got to college in the 70s, I started listening to more jazz and then what we would call classical, orchestral, opera,
right,
music. But that doesn't mean that I don't go back and listen and do some other listening. Like, I love listening to Astor Piazzolla, who is New York, born New York, lived in Argentina. He wrote tangos. And it's very good stuff. I think anybody, you know, if they like dance music like that, will enjoy it. So, but it's also in some ways, some of it's somewhat intellectual too, the way it's written. So there's a lot of genres of music out there for people, I think, to explore. And that are worth exploring.
And you're seeing a lot of it redone now, too. One of the things I noticed, you said 50s to now. I'm a big fan of the big band era.
Big band's 40s,
I love
yeah.
big band music.
I but do like that, too.
There's a group out there now that is taking a variety of songs, even new songs from today, and putting that big band twist on it.
And, of course, Maynard.
Postmodern Jukebox.
Maynard Ferguson used to do that back in the 70s, if you remember Maynard Ferguson. What I wrote to Morgan yesterday, because she just came out of one of her classes, like we were talking before the show, the collections class, or what we say the licensing class, right. ASCAP and BMI, was that I think a lot of people are somewhat afraid of classical music because they think that it is... there's a lot of it, and that it's hard to listen to. But it's in many ways, it's no different than listening to music, any like pop tunes or something,
right.
except it's longer. So you still have a tune, which could be a verse, and then a second tune, which in pop music could be called a chorus. And then sometimes there's development, which pop music doesn't have, but they do have a bridge, which sometimes classical music does, and then back, and just generally there's only two tunes of movement, that's it, and pop music generally verse and chorus.
Yeah.
So there are parallels in music, because there are parallels, because the thing about music that we all love is repetition. You were just talking about chestnuts roasting on an open fire. You like to put that on because you remember it. Maybe it takes you back to a memory or something.
Right.
And this is why, at least when I was growing up, pop music, the radio station, would play so many tunes so much. Like the labels would have them. Capitol, for instance, would have them play this song so many times a week to
right.
make sure people went out and bought their, you know, of course that doesn't happen anymore today. But... at least I don't think. I mean, CD stores are going out in Europe.
Everything's
there are CD stores.
Yeah.
Still.
There's still some around here, not as much.
But you have to go to the city. You know, you have to go to D.C. or... used CDs stores.
But you're seeing more vinyl come back.
You are seeing vinyl come back.
And it's expensive.
It is expensive. And to get the needles are expensive,
well,
too.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. But...
yeah.
Vinyl has, you've got more variety of color in the sound. I know there's other ways. It's not as a compressed CD. But I think people get afraid of listening to not only classical but jazz too, because they're not sure how to go about listening to it. And maybe they only listen to it one time, and rather than giving it several times to, you know, pick one piece by Mozart, a concerto or something, and just put it on, and then after a while you go, oh.
See, there are certain songs, and I try to explain this to my wife, certain songs you can't listen to at a low level. To enjoy it, you have to listen to it at a higher level. And but there are some songs, if you listen to it at a high level, it just makes it worse. Ride of the Valkyries, but I could play that song over.
Well, that's generally a completely loud piece, but a lot of classical music.
Probably my favorite song.
A lot of classical music has more dynamic contrast, meaning more softs and louds.
Yeah.
Than other music, just because of the way it is. So that creates some more color too. But yeah, Ride of the Valkyries is Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
And it was used in the movie
Apocalypse Now.
And it's fine music. It's part of a four and a half hour opera, which I have seen, and which I like.
I would love to see.
So yeah, it would be cool. Yeah, well, these are, you know, when the Ride of the Valkyries come, these are seven winged women on horses, like they often have wings. That's not necessarily that they fly, with the breastplate and the spear, mm-hmm. and they're carrying the dead from the battlefield.
Do you know the song we're talking about?
I think I know the song you're talking.
You ever
about.
See Apocalypse Now?
No.
It's when the helicopters are coming in. Vietnam.
You watch wrestling. Probably not. There's a wrestler called Daniel Bryan, and that's his theme song that he comes out to.
Okay.
How many podcasts in the United States have the question, do you watch wrestling? I think we need to have a poll.
Well, actually, finally, the wrestling here, MCW, is finally doing a podcast.
Okay,
I mean, not with me. They're doing
so. The answer is there's a podcast for everything.
There are a ton of wrestling podcasts out there.
Are there?
Yeah, because you're seeing wrestling's never been as big as it is now.
Really?
I'm not talking about just WWE. I'm talking the independent circuit.
Okay.
The ones that are in the gyms or the flea markets are bigger now than they have ever been. And it's.
Do you get in the ring and wrestle too?
Me?
Yeah, I'd be great.
No.
You could do it. You're Santa.
Too old.
I need to know if that happens.
I know. I would buy tickets.
I would buy
tickets. Absolutely.
My son went to the training academy. He did it for a couple months and then he quit. I said, what's the matter? He said, it hurts. I said, well, yeah. I said, I told you that. But, I mean, it built him up some. Yeah, and which in a way I'm glad because I didn't want him to hurt his hands because I always say he's Stevie Ray Vaughan reincarnated on guitar. So now what's he doing? An electrician. Don't burn your hands! But no, there's a lot of podcasts. It's funny because and I may have told you my plan about what I would like to do for a podcast studio.
Right.
And I was talking to my brother-in-law about it. He didn't know what a podcast was.
Yeah.
And he's owns the tow truck company and everything. So to show him, I knew it was a long shot. I figured, okay, I'm going to see if I can find some podcasts put on by towers, by tow truck companies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I was shocked at how many I had found.
Well, the old car talk.
Now he listens to them.
The old show Car Talk, that was a classic show, and you can still get their podcasts.
Yeah.
In fact, I do. So it was, and I know nothing about cars, really. But those guys were so good, classic, and so funny. And,
don't listen to podcasts.
For many years.
Seeing them grow more.
Yes, they're everywhere. I don't even know where.
But there are different niches, like Rich said. There's actually, we're talking about Ride of the Valkyries. There are actually podcasts for just Richard Wagner, the composer.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And I started listening to some, and some of them are out there. It's just, but. There's some podcasts I really enjoy listening to, but none of them have to do with classical music, as a matter of fact. So.
I actually got introduced to a podcast last week. Remember we were talking before we started about White Tiger Distillery?
Oh, yeah.
And he sent me a link to a podcast he was on. Come to find out, it's done by a guy that went to school with me. He graduated after me, but because I saw the name, I'm like, Michael Collison. I knew that name. And he does a podcast called Taste of Maryland, where he visits all these different breweries and distilleries and wineries and talks to them.
Yeah.
It's actually very good.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Yeah.
And people are interested.
Yeah. There's another, there's not as many local podcasts in Harford County yet, but you're starting to see more.
But you'll see more.
There's a band out there called Ballyhoo, and the lead singer Howie does, you know Ballyhoo?
Mm-hmm.
Great band. But Howie does his own podcast now too.
Okay.
They're churches, of course. A lot
they're
of
pretty
do.
Right. They're pretty easy to listen to if you download them on your phone, and then you can listen to them while you're
anytime,
driving.
Anytime, yeah.
Yeah, while you're driving or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Rather than it's a lot easier than watching a video in your car while you're driving.
That would not be suggested.
No.
No.
No, but why do they put DVDs on the dashboard now?
You can't see them while you're driving.
You can't?
No. So, and that was...
That's a good thing.
I first got my car, that was the thing. It's got the three screens in it.
Right.
So, and they play on all three screens. So Chris is like, oh, this is awesome. While we're driving, it'll play on the screen. So then your passenger can watch it, right? But it doesn't. It's a safety thing. It's only when you're in park. So
what bothers me, though...
I want a heads-up display for mine. Put it on the windshield. I'm sorry, go ahead, Sheldon.
Great, Rich.
Somebody needs to remind me, I'll
drive. Yeah. Somebody showed me their car. They had a loaner car, and everything, like the heater system and the radio, was all touchscreen.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Okay, funny that you say that. I was test driving a couple of different trucks the other day, and they are all touchscreen. So, and I test drove them and kept the trucks for a couple of days, and I was like, I don't know where anything is. I can't do anything. It's not like if I'm driving in my car, I can just reach over and press that because I know where it is.
The
right?
button's there, and it's
they have all physical. Of these apps on the screens, and it's like you have to press this one, and then you go, and it goes into the folder, essentially. It's all in folders. And then you have to press that one for the air conditioning or this one for the heat, or if you want your heated seat, and you want to, I'm like...
It's all about the money.
You're going to kill people. Yeah. Because it's...
There's no doubt.
I have to be able to run my vehicle without actually being able to look at what I'm doing in the inside. Because, there's the whole looking outside thing that I'm trying to do. So
That's important, that looking outside.
A little bit, yes. And so I'm trying to... I need to be able to function and do whatever without actually looking at it. It doesn't make sense. Well, it does not make sense.
Here's the thing. Right. Because now you're starting to see the cars that drive themselves. You don't have to drive them.
Yeah.
So,
we've taken it past parallel.
Who would
parking,
get the
though?
Ticket?
Right. Who does get the ticket?
Who would get the ticket for that?
There's a whole bunch of
stuff. Sorry, Mr. Officer. I am not actually operating this vehicle right now.
But here's,
I'm intoxicated. My car drove me home. I don't know.
Here's the thing. And I said this years ago when they started with all the different electronic stuff. What's going to happen when it's out of warranty and it breaks down? You're not going to be able to fix it yourself.
No.
You've got to take it in.
They expect you to buy another one, too.
Right. And the other thing is, too, and this is one of the things I told my sister, look at your car and ask them, how many wiring harnesses are there? Because if everything's on one harness, if one thing goes up, you ain't going anywhere.
I don't know. So I get a new Yukon every 10 years. Well, my last Yukon was key, right? Mm-hmm. So now my Yukon now is keyless. And thank God I buy my vehicles from Boyle and they take care of them and everything. But I am constantly calling and like, hey, so I have this going on. I'm afraid my car's not going to run. Like, I am truly terrified that I'm going to be someplace and my car is just going to shut off and there's absolutely nothing that I can do. Anytime the transmission slips, I freak out.
Yeah.
Like, I just kind of feel like that key gave me, like, that sense
extra
of...
Extra sense of security.
I'm doing something, right? Mm. So but just pressing the button and it comes on like a microwave oven, like
I don't have one.
It makes me nervous. I mean, knock on wood, it's been 5 years and no issues. But I mean, really.
So we were doing a wedding at the farm, and my sister asked me to go move her Jeep, and I got in, and she tossed me the keys, and I'm like, okay, how the hell's this key open? Where's the key? Where's it open up? So she's in the barn, and I call her, I say, where's the key? I can't get it open. It's push start. I'm like, what? Push start. I said, okay.
Okay.
She goes, look at the button there. I said, no. It started. Cool. All right. So I went and parked it. How the hell do you shut it off?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm trying to figure it out. When I had to call her again, push the button again. I'm like, man, I feel like a real idiot.
But it only starts if you have your foot on the brake. Right?
Yeah.
So you compress it, and then, it's like in that, was it A? What was that mode they used to call it? Like your car, it's like off and then something and then on.
Accelerate.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, ACC for accelerate. Yes. Yeah, if you want to run the radio or whatever.
So if you just press the button without your foot being on the pedal, that's what it does. So the car comes on, but the engine doesn't come on. So you have to have your foot on the brake for it to actually start.
And I've read that in this country, at least, they're pretty much doing away with a manual transmission. But if you want to run a car overseas... It's hard to get an automatic.
That's the worst thing they could do is get rid of manual transmissions. That is a big... That's a good anti-theft device right there.
It is.
You're right.
Because a lot of people don't know how to drive them.
I'm off at it. I'm terrible at it.
Oh, I love it.
It's been a minute, but my parents required us, and their parents required them. We had to get our license with a manual vehicle.
Yeah.
And he claims that he is going to require the same of our kids, except... we have all these trucks now. Well, we had to buy all automatics. We only have two left, I think, and only one of them runs. But two left with manual Everything's automatic because our I can't hire people that know how to drive them anymore.
Isn't it interesting though? But here they're doing away with it. But in Europe, I haven't seen. You know, it's almost everybody has. You know, stick. Well, it seems to me. At least
when because most of your European models, I mean, built for speed. That's what they,
Or for urban driving.
Yeah.
So,
because you better control your vehicle too.
While thinking about it, I'd like to give a shout out to Coffee
Festival,
because I don't know when this is going to air, but until through November,
it'll be before your concert. Put it that way.
Okay, but. Through November 10th, they still have the Susquehanna Symphony Latte, which they made specially for us.
All right, it'll be after November 10th, so tell them they have to extend it.
So support Coffee and thank them after the fact for doing a Susquehanna Symphony Latte, which is outstanding. And getting a lot of nice PR from that because they have the orchestra information right up front.
Right.
Betsy does a nice job. And it's yummy with maple syrup and stuff. It's a really good one. So
I love that place.
So I'm hoping that they do it, you know, again for us next year, which is great. Yeah, Coffee is a great local business.
Every time we go to Bel Air, if I take my daughter with me, right? Because I finally got her turned off from that Bucks place, and
I'm a gold card holder.
I'm sorry,
Starbucks.
And I told her, I said, look, you want coffee? We got to keep it local. I said, introduced her to coffee.
Well, you got to take her to before November 10th for a Susquehanna Symphony Latte. Because
actually, I'll be headed that way.
Stop in for one of those.
I'm going to be headed that way tomorrow. So
a little brown sugar, maple syrup.
Give me the Sheldon coffee.
Right.
Well, there's a picture of, I'm sorry, but there's a picture of me right there on the counter with Danielle Noe, who's our cellist, a cellist in the orchestra, and she is on the board, and she's the one that put this together for us, because she lives close to Coffee. Used to work there years ago when she was a student. So,
how old is Danielle?
30-something. I better be careful.
Okay, ain't the one I'm thinking of. I didn't know a friend of mine didn't know if it's his daughter or not, but it's not.
No, but we really appreciate they consider it a partnership. And Coffee will be at our December 8th concert serving coffee.
Really?
Oh, yes.
They're a great place. That's what
they are.
Spent a lot of time networking.
And when they expanded, it's like, yes.
Yeah. I went in there so many mornings where I knew half the clientele was in there having meetings. And I just walked in and I was like, good morning, everybody I know.
Here's
coffee.
I don't know if I...
There's not a lot of coffee shops, local ones.
No, not ones like that.
You got more in Havity Grace than you do in Bel Air.
Havity Grace has got some nice coffee shops going on.
Concord Point Coffee.
Yeah, Concord's good.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, on our Facebook page. We encourage people not only to go to our website, www.ssorchestra.org, but maybe it's easier to like us on Facebook. Susquehanna Symphony.
I'm going to feel weird going into Coffee Day to get my coffee, because every time I go in there, she'll ask, or whoever's working, say, what do you want? I said, surprise me. I can't do it this time. I got to ask for the
Susquehanna Symphony, or it's called Handel's Harvest, after George Frederick Handel, who's
right
on our concert.
I'll just ask for the Sheldon special. Then they'll look at me like
they may or may not know who that is.
I would say,
but you can point to the picture and say, I know that guy. And whether that's good or not.
I want my own drink.
Get out!
Someplace.
Huh?
Yeah.
So I want my own drink at someplace.
Yeah.
Stacey Andon had her own salad at Fox and Fern before they closed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good company, too. Good place.
I want my own
coffee
or something now, too. I want my own beer.
There you go. There's probably some company somewhere that will make them, kind of like making your own perfume.
Actually, I can make it at home, too. I guess make my own beer.
My dad's only allowed to make beer when no one's home.
We've been talking about doing that at the Lions Club. Because you're seeing breweries pop up everywhere. Find a place that we carry our beer, of course. Yeah. Got to find out all the legalities and all that first.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot.
So, but you guys got anything to add?
No.
Come out to the concert December 8th. And if you LR High School, 7:30.
Any construction, call Sarah.
For construction, call Sarah.
Yes.
And if you need any landscaping, call Sarah.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry, Chris. She's. But if you need snow removal,
you can still call Sarah. It'll all go through. It'll all go through, Chris. I'm just the face of everything.
Man.
I am. I'm just the face of everything.
Well, you're the one that's here.
Well, that's because if Chris was here, we'd be here till 6 o'clock.
He would be here till 6 o'clock. Yeah. But he's actually currently at home watching the Pittsburgh Ritchie Brothers auction.
How come he's not working?
Auction trucks. No, that is work.
Oh, that is work, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because there was no luck at the one here a couple of weeks ago.
Hmm. So. Does he ever go up to Mannheim? All right, stop doing that because that's contagious. Jeez. I want to thank you both for coming on. Sarah, it was good seeing you again. It's been about
you
a year.
Too. It has been a while. Yeah. Life got a little out of control.
Mm-hmm. She just doesn't like coming on anymore.
I do. Yeah. You know I live for this stuff.
Yeah, whatever. Right. Sheldon, I'll see you probably again next month.
That would be fine. For our next concert is March. So, not until March 9th.
Well, that's we'll try to get Gary on here. Get
that'd
both
be good.
Of you on here.
Yeah.
You know, we yell at him again.
Yeah, I encourage folks to listen to my show on WHFC, Just the Bare Necessities in Classical Music.
Great show.
Wednesday morning, 9 to noon. I talk a little bit, play a lot of music. Sometimes I have guests on. So yeah.
He's never had me.
Well,
sometimes I have guests that understand classical music a little
bit. Oh, he's afraid to have me on there because he knows I'll just be talking Zappa or something like that.
We could play some Frank Zappa. There's no doubt about that.
If anybody would like to be on the Harford County Living Podcast, just contact us. Email podcast@harfordcountyliving.com or call 443-982-0250. Once again, it is free to come on and just talk about your business, your organization, or whatever. We're recording every week now. So Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock. Try to make it easy. So thanks again, guys.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
The Joppatown Lions Club will be holding their annual Breakfast with Santa and Holiday Bazaar Sunday, December 9th from 9 to 1 at Joppatown High School. Joppatown High School is located at 555 Joppa Farm Road, and tickets are only $10 a person, and that's for all you can eat, and children 5 and under are free. You can get your tickets online at Joppatown, that's Joppatowne, lionsclub.org. Again, that's joppatownlionsclub.org. Get your tickets online. Vendors will be on hand, such as Log Cabin Chocolates, Miss Trisha's Homemade Natural Soaps, which I use for my beer, and I understand Santa Claus does as well. And, of course, Perfectly Posh and some other vendors. So make sure you make it down there. I also understand that Santa is going to be sitting down with the kids, something different this year. Santa will be sitting down with the kids and eating breakfast with them at times, too. So make sure you get your kids there after 9 o'clock, 10. Every hour he's going to be sitting down for about 10 or 15 minutes. You know, he's got to fatten up for Christmas after all. So, again, that's the Joppatown Lions Club annual Breakfast with Santa and Holiday Bazaar, Sunday, December 9th from 9 to 1 at the Joppatown High School. Again, tickets can be purchased online at joppatownlionsclub.org.